Blog Talk Radio.
And it's Norm at Night coming to you live again here on a Tuesday night. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. First of all, we're going to talk about Barack Obama's visit to the Middle East and to Europe. We're going to talk about how Barack Obama seems to be handling the generals and the proper relationship between, excuse me, I've got a little cold tonight, the proper relationship between the commander-in-chief and his generals. We're going to talk about the FICA bill and how one Maryland senator voted for it, one Maryland senator voted against it, and try to decide who was correct. We'll have a little conversation about Radovan Karadzic, the psychiatrist, who, quite frankly, seemed to act like a savage in Serbia. He was captured yesterday in Belgrade, and look at that situation. And finally, I'm going to talk a little bit about what I'm looking for, facing your fears, and now talk about some of mine and whether or not I should go dog sledding. Well, if you want to join me here on Norm at Night, you can give me a call at 347-945-6713. That's 347-945-6713. If you'd like to instant message me, you can reach me at BoogeCon on your instant message, and I'll be glad to pick your comments up there. But to our first topic of the night, let's talk about Barack Obama. Barack Obama seems to be making a big hit for himself in the Middle East. He's supposed to be a senator on a fact-finding mission, yet he's being treated as a head of state. I'm not really sure how I feel about this whole thing. I'd really like to... don't worry out there. I just got an IM to turn off my TV, and I did it, and I just forgot to do it. I apologize for that, you know. The TV is off. But anyway, Barack Obama, what do you think of this trip so far? He seems to be having quite a day out there, and I almost began to feel sorry for John McCain today. He just looks like an old guy. What I really want to talk about is Barack Obama and his statement. It actually kind of renewed my faith in him that we're going to get a president who understands that the military is subservient to the civilian control of the country. That is one of the major ideas expressed in the Federalist Papers, that the civilians of the country would control the military. And that's one reason why I believe it's very dangerous, though we've had quite a few of them, it's very dangerous to have a general step into the presidency. We had, of course, started out with General Washington, and there was always some issue about whether or not, Washington, though it was in John Adams' administration, Washington was all for the Alien and Sedition Acts in, 1798. And, of course, we know that they disappeared. Traitors are always an interesting thing. Uh, One of the other things we'll talk about, and of course that's in the relationship with Serbia, is and the Radovan Karadzic. I'm not sure about my pronunciation on that, but we'll give it a call. I got five lines open if you want to chime in and take this conversation in the direction you want it to go. You can reach me at 347-945-6713. I apologize for my voice a little bit. I've had a cold since I got back from Deep Creek Lake. And I went out for a big night on Saturday night with some friends. But anyway, back to the president and the general. Let's see if we can't figure out just what presidents of the United States were generals. We have Washington, and then I guess the next one would have been Jackson, you know, the hero of the Battle of New Orleans, the hero of the slaughter of the Seminoles, and then Zachary Taylor, for sure, was a general. Grant was a general, and we know how his administration was, so the president himself was probably... how could I forget Tippi Canoe and Tyler, too? William Henry Harrison, he was a great Indian fighter. Tippi Canoe, Tyler, too, Zachary Taylor, Winfield Scott. There are actually a lot of generals. When we move into the 20th century, I guess we don't get a general until Eisenhower, right? I don't think there are any presidents in the 20th century who were generals except for Dwight D. He was a Democrat who ended up running on the Republican ticket. Winfield Scott was not president of the United States. I just got an IM for that. I guess that's right. I'm not 100% sure, but one of the wonderful things about this internet world of ours, it's not hard for me to find out. I'll just type it right in here, and we'll be looking, and no, he was just a general. He was a presidential candidate. I am sorry about that. I'm embarrassed. In fact, actually, it was a European historian who corrected me on it. I'm feeling kind of silly here. He lost to Franklin Pierce. And in fact, Winfield Scott was nominated for president, and he was passed over by, they passed over Millard Fillmore, who actually was from Buffalo, New York. General McClellan was just pointed out to me that General McClellan was also a candidate. But he lost to Lincoln in 1864. In fact, McClellan had been fired by Lincoln because he thought that he was way too cautious. And that gave rise to the grand old General Grant, and he was president. But I guess Eisenhower was the only president of the United States who was a general in the 20th century. Roosevelt wasn't in the military. He was there for four. Truman wasn't in the military. That was another president that stood up to the generals when he fired Douglas MacArthur when he wanted to roast the Chinese for their incursion into Korea on the side of the North Koreans. But a question just got poked at me on my end. What does this all have to do with Obama? What it has to do with Obama is what he stood up and said today. He was not intimidated, nor did he back down from General Petraeus, the great history of excuse me, I'm losing my train of thought. I'm really sorry about that. And somebody just pointed something out to me that I'm not 100% sure about, and I need to figure it out. Excuse me. That Harry Truman was in the military. He was actually in World War I. He served as an artillery officer, and he then became a United States. He then became a United States senator, and eventually became vice president, and then president. I should get a cough button. Yeah, I probably should. The food relief to Germany in the 20s, I'd just like to point out, was overseen by Herbert Hoover, not Harry Truman. But Truman was an artillery officer in the First World War. I'm talking about presidents who were generals. The last general, really, we had running for president was... I can't think of the guy's name now. They're talking about him for vice president. But anyway, the issue. Barack Obama made it very clear that if he was elected president of the United States, that George W. Bush was not a general. Actually, somebody said, I just got an IM, I don't say those kind of words over the air, but said that George W. was a general F-up, and I kind of got a kick out of that, and so that got a cheer out of me. But anyway, I'm drinking some iced tea here to try to keep my voice going. Barack Obama went a long way towards making it clear, at least in my mind, that he hadn't really backed off on his issues, and that it was the President of the United States who set the policy and the missions for the military. And though it was in their interest to fight wars, and even said that if he was in General Petraeus' position, he would want to continue to do it. But he also made clear that if he was elected president of the United States, Iraq would no longer be the central theater that it seems to be under George Bush. And that's a positive thing. But as I watched this, I became rather concerned over the control of the message that the Barack campaign seems to be putting over the flow of news. This is not what I expected from this man. And I hope that he stops trying to control us all. So this is not a message contest. This is about an election to be president of the United States. I've got no callers. If you're out there, please give me a call, especially tonight. My voice is in top shape. 347-945-6713. Again, that's 347-945-6713. Or you can IM me. My screen name is BoojCon. Just I'll be happy to talk to you over my IM. And one of the things that John McCain was bringing up today, and I mean, Hillary Clinton brought it up too, it seems that Barack Obama is getting a pass from everyone. Everybody's afraid. We talked a little bit about this last Tuesday. Everybody's afraid to say anything bad about Barack Obama because they're afraid they'll be branded a racist. And I really don't understand how you'd be branded a racist if you say something bad about the man and not about his race. I guess the question, and this is a really interesting question, and maybe it's a dangerous thing to say, but will a black man be a different kind of president than a white man? And is that better or worse? I don't know the answer, but you're welcome to call in. Oh, I've got a phone call here. And caller, you're on the air.
Hi there, Harvard. It's a former student of yours.
Well, how are you?
I'm good. I found you, another fellow teacher of mine, put me in touch with your new online radio show. I love it. Norm at Night is back.
Norm at Night is back, and nobody's going to be able to turn it off this time. This is Radio Free Norm. So what can we do for you tonight?
Well, I just thought I'd check in and see what you guys are talking about. It's been an interesting day in the presidential campaign, and I see you've been discussing that for the past little bit and wondered if I could weigh in a little.
Right in. Fire away.
Well, I just think that, first of all, I don't think Barack Obama could have any luckier a week in that between what McCain has just done in this with this gaffe about wanting to lose the war at the in order to win an election. I think that at this point the Obama campaign doesn't have to do much. You know, it seems at this point like McCain will implode all on his own. But you've got to give Obama credit for having to.
Wait a minute. Do you think McCain was wrong for what he said?
I think that, he surely didn't help himself.
But why didn't he help himself?
Because I think reporters, or I think the public and other reporters and the media respond to what a lot of people believe is Obama's sort of genuine sense in that he does believe in this, and that regardless of what has happened in the past, and I think that Obama has actually dwelled on the decisions of the past too much, whether it's getting into Iraq in the first place or even on the surge, I think that he is correct to focus more on the future, and I think that to charge him with using the Iraq War as sort of a political tool to get elected, I think that goes far beyond
Obama
criticizing his lack of patriotism or something. Like, that is just so completely out of left field that I don't see how it could help McCain whatsoever. And Barack Obama just gets a free one off the back of McCain.
Well, but let's talk about Barack Obama. You know, it's really interesting. He crucified the primary campaign because he is a little state senator in Illinois said, we shouldn't go in this war. And yet, their votes for the war for the entire time that they were in the Senate together were exactly the same.
Well, I don't think you can. I think that he faced the reality when he was in this U.S. Senate that once you're in this thing, you can't do anything to jeopardize the lives of many of your constituents by voting against funding for the war. Once you're in the U.S. Senate, it's like, okay, once the war started, he had no ability whatsoever as a state senator to vote against the war. But once he was in the U.S. Senate, I think he took responsibility for what was there, protecting all of, protecting his constituents, protecting the rest of our troops there. And and properly voted for funding in the war. Now, many people will come back and say, well, guess what? He actually voted against funding for the war, but that was only when an amendment offering stipulating that there be no timetable for withdrawal was added to the bill. That was the only instance in which he voted against funding, which I think was completely reasonable. But
I actually don't think it was reasonable because thousands of soldiers died because that funding continued.
Because of what? Sorry?
Because that funding continued. If the funding stops, the troops come home.
If the funding stops, the troops come home. But at the same time, would we have benefited? I mean, we couldn't exactly foresee the consequences in Iraq if we had immediately withdrawn. And there's a pretty decent potential at that point that the result that could have, the results that would have occurred in the region would have been worse than if we had stayed. I mean, think about it. If we had left at that point when people were talking about cutting off funding, then there was, or at least in my, you know, belief, I think there was a pretty good chance that the Iranians were going to step in and, you know, and interfere in a much more serious and
Let me just ask you a couple of questions.
Go right ahead.
Okay. What do you think is going to happen in Iraq when we're gone?
What do I think will happen?
Yes.
Well, if that all depends. I mean, I hate to, you know, I don't want to seem like I'm floundering on the question, but that will depend on the situation on the ground once we leave. But hypothetically, if we were to leave now, if we were to leave right now, I think that the Iraqi government and is politically fragile to hold all these different factions together. The one plan that I have seen that I personally would endorse that I thought was the best from the beginning was Joe Biden's plan, and that is to federalize the country into three separate sections with a loose central government with much greater autonomy for each region. I think that makes much more sense than trying to hold together this fragile coalition of Kurds, Shiites, and Sunnis that the Brits carved out decades ago.
Well, but let's just talk about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Most people in Iraq are Shiites.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that.
Yes.
Is that true? And there's this giant Shiite nation right next to Iraq.
Yes, in Iran.
Yes, and why do people believe that the Shiites aren't all going to get together and make a big Shiite nation?
Why do they think that?
Why?
Sorry, I lost you for a second. Hello? Norm, are you there? Hello? Let's try this again.
Norm is back, and I'm really... And hello, I'm really sorry. I had a technical problem. Are you still with me, caller? Caller, are you still here? Am I back on the air there, I am her. Hello?
Yep,
caller, you're here? Are you with me? All right.
All right, let's pick up where we left off.
Yeah, we've got about 5 minutes. I'm getting word from my sponsors that I got about 5 minutes left.
All right.
I really honestly believe that when the whole thing is done, that Iraq and Iran are going to become a giant Shiite nation.
Mm-hmm. The quote-unquote Shiite crest.
And it's going to be a very difficult position for the United States. We have made things worse.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in a general sense, yes, this war has made things worse. And so I think the one thing that you can do at this point is try and minimize the amount of damage that's done. And I think that once that determination is made, that is when you pull out a responsible number of troops. And you say, You know, you do your best to maintain the stability of the region without draining our financial reserves by paying for the war and by sort of as limiting the as much of the quote unquote occupation as possible.
Well, I've just got a few minutes left here.
Sure.
And I'd like, as long as I got you on the line here, what do you think about Radovan Karadzic being captured in Serbia?
I think that is fantastic. I recently took a course on Eastern Europe since 1914, and having
mm-hmm.
read and learned more about what truly occurred in that region, I think that it will do wonders for at least the rest of Europe's confidence that Serbia really does want to pull closer to the West, and that I think it's a significant step in that it's a confidence-building step as Serbs and the Serbian government move towards a closer relationship with the European Union and move away from a resurgent and more prickly, I should say, Russia.
Well, do you think the Serbs ever give up on Kosovo? I mean, that's to give up on everything Serbian.
I mean, I think it will be very, very
civilization.
It's going to be very difficult for the Serbs to give up Kosovo, but I think it will take time, and I also think it will take the large carrot of EU accession to get the Serbs, or at least the Serbian government, to overcome that sort of psychological barrier. And
you think
become,
that can be bought?
Do I think they'll give? I mean, I don't think.
Well,
that's
it sounds like you think
they can
be bought.
I don't. I think eventually they will have to give up the issue of Kosovo if they want to be able to become a more prosperous nation within the context of the European Union and sort of move the rest of the Balkan region forward on a track towards greater prosperity.
But they have a great ally. The Russians are on their side in this.
The Russians are on their side, but that's only because they're feeding them oil through Bulgaria. Like the Russians are fueling Serbian agriculture using their oil, when really the Europeans can be offering the Serbs much more in terms of an advanced economy that involves more than just agriculture. The Russians providing the Serbs with all of this oil and diesel fuel is only going to keep kindling this agricultural economy, which is not going to be sustainable in the long
run. Well, I'm really glad, I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm really glad you called, and we're going to be on Thursday night again at 11, and I hope you give us a call back. But
I'll do my best.
I've got 25 seconds left, and this has been just great, great fun, and for all of you out there, you can hear this whole broadcast in about 15 minutes on PattyWop or Patty2.blogspot.com, and you can the broadcast will be redone there, or you can go to Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/NormAtNight, and you can hear the whole thing. And I will see you later. Norm is out.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, but I think I'm done. My time.
Yeah, I think you are too. That's what the web's telling me.
Yeah, well, that was great fun, and call back on Thursday.
Oh, I will. So, and actually, you'll appreciate this. I ran into Will Wilson last week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he and I had dinner with a bunch of other Yale students with a former Clinton speechwriter, Clinton foreign policy speechwriter.
Oh, you should have them call too.
Yeah. Well, I'll send him a link to this, and I'm sure he'd love to call in.
And pretty soon there'll be there's going to be a Norm at Night website too, and we're just going to have great fun with this.
Fantastic. Well, this is great.
All right. Well, I got to hang up now.
All right.
Take it easy. Thanks for calling. We'll talk to you Thursday.
You bet, Norm. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.